Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland. Let's pray. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. We are so thrilled with what you have done, what you are doing, and what you are going to do in this earth. Glory be to God. And it is so exciting. We praise you and bless you today on this broadcast, for many will be born again. Many will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Many will be healed. Many will receive miracles. Many will grasp the spiritual laws of faith and how they work. And many, many will rejoice and have cause for great rejoicing. And we boldly declare it by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, glory to God. So many great things are happening. I mentioned this last week, but I'm going to tell you again. last May, we were in Lima, Peru. We've been there several years, and we've been in Venezuela 7 years in a row. And this was our fourth year, I believe, in Peru. And just marvelous meetings. I'm telling you, Latin America is on fire with the word of faith. I'm telling you, their pastors are taking hold of it. They're preaching it all over the Latino world. Glory to God. It's wonderful. And here we are in this large basketball arena. And I mean, the power and the glory of God was there. Well, two blocks away is a hospital. And now, the Lord said this to me 48 years ago, that this was coming, that the glory of God would be manifest in the streets, and that it would come to the place where it was visible. You could see the cloud and the glory of God. And that everyone that got in that would be healed and so forth and so on. And the glory came up out of that arena. And the woman was in the hospital two blocks away. Her doctor was examining her. She had two malignant tumors in her neck. All of a sudden, she got red and turned hot. She said it wasn't warm, it was hot. She felt like she was on fire. It frightened her doctor. And he did. I mean, didn't either one of them know what was happening to him? This woman, I mean, you know, she believed in God, but she'd never been born again. And so when he examined her, the tumors were gone. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And they dismissed her from the hospital. She comes out of the hospital and sees the big billboard there about the meeting going on two blocks away. She came in the meeting, got born again. Oh, yeah. She said, yeah, this is it. This is what happened to me. Glory to God. Now, I don't know if anybody else or a lot of people in that hospital got healed. I don't know if what happened in the area around it. But glory to God, hallelujah forever. The glory is here. Amen. And it'll manifest right where you are right now. Some of you may see the cloud of God come in. Some of you just may sense His presence so powerful. Well, just begin to worship and praise Him and dance around the room, because praise God, that's when the most power is released, is when you're praising God. Amen. All right, now, Romans 4:16 once more. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. And yesterday we talked about covenant promise. Every promise in this book is blood-backed. everything Jesus said, everything that is written is backed by His blood. Hallelujah. Ah! Now, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him, literally translated, is like unto him. So, like God in the presence of God, whom he believed, even God, whom quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Faith calls things that be not as though they were. Number one, you believe the word in your heart. Number two, you say the word or speak the word with your mouth. Number three, James 1:22, be a doer of the word. Act on the word. You act on the word and you speak from the word and you believe the word as if it had already come to pass. You see what I'm saying there? Because this word is absolutely truth, and in it is the power to bring itself to pass, because it is a blood-sworn oath. It's got God's word behind it. You see, when people think of God's word, they think about a book. No. Well, that's true. This is the word. This doesn't contain the word of God. It is the word of God. But here's what you need to realize. This is God's bond. I mean, it's impossible for God to lie. Let every man be a liar, but not God. Hallelujah. Because, see, he swore this in blood. In the book of Hebrews, it said he could swear by no greater, so he swore by himself. In the blood of animals, in the old covenant, in the precious, holy, pure blood of God, the blood of Jesus, in the new covenant. That means that the new covenant, based on better promises, and the word says that Jesus is the mediator of a better covenant on better promises, better covenant promises. Glory to God. Now, that literally means, see, the old covenant had the blessing and the curse, but Jesus was made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. He bore and took the curse of the law. Amen. Well, let's go over there. I want you to put your eyes on it. Let's go over to Galatians chapter 3. Verse 13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. Why, Jesus? Why did you go to the cross and do that? So that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we, the Gentiles, might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Well, see, we're no longer Gentiles. The word Gentile just simply means somebody without a covenant. But, hey, we've got a covenant. We've got a better covenant. Amen. And you can check that out. Go to the book of Ephesians. See, you were Gentiles, but now you're not. Glory to God. Now, let's get back over there to the book of Romans. I have made thee the father of many nations. Now, let's look at that again in the 17th chapter of Genesis. When Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram, said to him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me, be thou perfect. Or, be sincere, be mature. Don't let the word perfect fool you. I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply you exceedingly. Abram fell on his face. God talked with him, saying, as for me, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall your name be called Abram anymore, but your name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. See, he was already the father of many nations. He just didn't know it yet. God had already declared it. God called things that be not as though they were. And you'll find it in the 16th chapter, the 15th chapter of Genesis, when God walked in blood. He walked in blood and swore to him, so shall your seed be. Now, I want us to grasp this. This is so vitally important. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving. The Spirit of God was moving. He was moving. He was moving. It is dark. The Spirit was moving. Well, you know, I just know in His own good time, the Spirit of God will cause it to be light. No, if God has said that, isn't that what happened? What did He do? He called light while it was dark. That's what faith does. Faith is the evidence of what you don't see, because it's the power of faith that changes it. So if there's no faith loose to change it, it'll never change. It's the power of faith that changes things. So God said, light be, light was, God saw. Isn't that good? That's a perfect example of it. Now, let me take this a step further. Let's talk about here, Luke chapter 11. Let's go there. The Gospel of Luke chapter 11. And we'll look at the 11th verse. If, this is Jesus speaking, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you, being evil, or if you just being natural, just a natural parent, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more, say it out loud, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? And I've heard people, Gloria and I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit in January of 1963. Amen. We didn't know anything. I just knew that my mama had been baptized in the Holy Ghost, and my dad, and I knew they got kicked out of church for it, but I didn't know anything about it. I didn't understand anything about it much. And, you know, I didn't know to be against it. And, you know, it hadn't been but just in November that I'd gotten born again. Gloria got saved in October of 62, same year we got married. And I got saved then in the first week of November. And here it is January, and we're in a meeting, and my mom and dad are sitting right behind us, and they gave an invitation for people to come up and receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I turned around, and you see, I like to went to hell, brother. I resisted God. All those years, and listen, I'm going to tell you right now, whatever invitation they gave, glory to God, if it's something you're supposed to have, boy, I'm after it right now. And so I turned around, I said, Mama, is that something you're supposed to have? She said, yes, it is. Gloria and I jumped and ran to the front row. The front of the little hotel meeting room where this meeting was being held. We just ran up there. Glory to God. And here was all the women over here, and they're laying hands on different ones, and here they're laying hands on Glory, and she's just standing there. She don't know what she's supposed to do. She's just standing there, and all these women praying and going on and praying and going on. And then here I am over here, and the men are all praying and going on over me, and they got their hands on me. I don't know anything about faith. I was hungry for it, but every time I ask anybody about it, they'd give me some weird deal. So I didn't know what to do. I'm scripturally illiterate, you understand? And I'm just standing there, and they're saying, "Hang on, brother, hang on, brother." And another guy's saying, "Let go, brother, let go." And, you know, and they're praying, and I mean, they're praying and shouting and going on, and, you know, I'm just standing there. And so Dr. William Standish Reed, praise God, was the leader of this meeting. It was his meeting. And he was a good friend of my family and a good friend of me. And so they finally just gave up on me, you know. So Dr. Bill said, "Come on over here and we pray for Gloria." I said, "Okay." So we went over there. Now, you have to understand, I had never laid hands on anybody and prayed in my whole life for anything. And we walked over there, and I'm standing right behind Gloria. And all them women are still just going, you know, man, they're praying. Oh, they're praying. It's having a big time. And so, I went over there. Well, here's what I did. You know, I mean, I'd seen my dad. And, you know, he was a deacon in Southern Baptist Church. So I'd seen him, you know, he'd stand back there at the back of the church back there as an usher and deacon. So, and he stood there like this. Well, you know, I took up my deacon stance too. And I'm standing there. Yes. Oh, yes. Glory. Oh, I didn't say that. I didn't know to say that. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Now, don't you misunderstand me a bit. I want you to know I was in love with Jesus. I mean, oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. I like to went to hell. Oh, Jesus. Glory to God. And Dr. Bell said, "Put your hands on Gloria." And I said, "No, no, 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 no." He said, "Put your hands on her." I said, "No." And he said, "Put your hand on her." Man. He didn't shout it that loud at me. It sounded that loud to me, and he had a deep booming voice. It didn't have to be all that really loud. And my hand shot out like that. And the moment my hand touched her back, whoa. Hallelujah. Just the presence and the wonderfulness of God. Amen. And I thought, oh, Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus, oh Lord Jesus. And I just walked across the front there, and there was a chair sitting there on the little platform, and I just got up there and I just sat down in that chair. Oh Lord Jesus. Oh Lord Jesus. Oh Lord Jesus. Oh Lord Jesus. Dr. Bill walked by and touched me on the head, and he said, "That's enough English." Oh, look at that. And oh, man, I'm telling you, I'm enjoying this. You understand? I just had me a time. Well, Gloria didn't receive till the next morning. I had to go back to Little Rock that night because I had to go to work next morning. And went out the airport. And, you know, got in the airplane, was by myself, flying back to Little Rock. And so I'm just flying along there. It is a bright, gorgeous, clear winter night. And I'm just sitting there, the autopilot's on. Huh. What do you suppose that was all about? Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. And I'm talking out loud to myself, I thought. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to say a couple of those words again. I'm going to see if this is what I think it is. See, I'm a total scripture dummy. I don't know one verse from another, other than you must be born again. Thank God I got that. Jesus come into my heart. I knew that one. So I just said, brother, it come again, brother. I mean to tell you, I am having me a praising party right there in that airplane. Oh, hallelujah. And I could see Little Rock up there on the horizon. And I'm thinking in my mind, thinking one thing, and this is coming out my mouth. I'm gonna have to call the tire. I'm going to have to call approach control here in a minute. I just hope it comes out in English. But I don't know anything. I don't know that I have control of this. The Spirit of God will never, ever take you out of control. And I said, okay. I said, Lord, you're either going to have to do something with my mouth or do something with their ears, because I'm going to call them. And I called. I said, you know, Little Rock Approach Control. And they came back. They heard me. I was like, hallelujah. So I went ahead and I was about 20 miles out and flew up in there, landed, got out. And I got out there on the tarmac out in front of the hangar where I worked. And I began to dance. I danced around that airplane. I shouted, and I'm just going in tongues. I'm going in tongues, and I've been talking in tongues. I mean, I've been a tongue talker for the last 53 years. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you, if anything, I'm like the Apostle Paul. I speak in tongues more than all of you put together. That's what the Amplified says in the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Maybe we get over there tomorrow. Would you like that? Yeah, okay.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Be sure to get the notes at kcm.org/notes. And remember, Jesus is Lord.